Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. This is Live with Larry. Make sure all. There we go. Alright, talk to you in a half hour there, White Rapper. Yeah. You got the number. And for the White Rapper, it'd be nice if I plugged in my microphone.
After a tumultuous week, it was Trump's attempt to get back to basics. We need to stop believing in politics.
All right. It's all right. You're on Live with Larry. And come up. And if you want to call in, the number here is 347-637-1843. We got a very special treat in store for you today. We're actually, I just learned that we are getting R.A. the Rugged Man. An amazing rapper in his own right. My biggest thing is now I keep getting a lot of rappers these days. I got White Rapper. I got R.A. the Rugged Man. I had Afro a couple of weeks ago. And we're running a theme here on rap and hip hop. Not exactly where I was, but sometimes the show can take on a life of its own, and it's not necessarily a bad thing, ladies and gentlemen. Bear with me a moment. I'm going to see here, go back here, a little bit about R.A. the Rugged Man. American rapper, started at age 12, I got this from Wikipedia, and he's worked with Mobb Deep, Wu-Tang Clan, Kool G Rap, Notorious B.I.G., Eric Sermon, many others. He's been on Capitol Records, WWF Aggression album, Nature Sounds, official debut, Die, Rugged Man, Die. I mean, he's got, this guy's got an amazing resume. So we got a special treat here. Let me just make sure that we're on here. There we go. And let me just do a little promotion here. Make sure that there's Twitter, Facebook, Blog Talk Radio. And pretty soon I'm going to be seeing a lot more with Rugged Man and I see that we're still right now we're going to do a little bit of a my tech person tells me we need to do a little bit of a test of the system, so I need to do a little something here with the...
with command of the U.S. nuclear arsenal.
I don't know what happened. Welcome back to Live with Larry on Blog Talk Radio. And as I said earlier, we got a special treat with the white rapper. Alrighty, that's cool. Let me just get off this. That's better. I'm gonna put a little invitation out to my co-host. Come on. All right. So, what's the most empowering thing that that you have in your life? I mean, every week something unusual happens. One of the things I learned from my subscription to the free service Darren Daily for Darren Hardy is that we need to hold ourselves accountable for our own for things that happen to us, because unfortunately too many people blame others for things that, you know, for their own misfortune. And we all, let's face it, there's always going to be bumps in the road. Every successful person, whether it be in business or athletics or academics or whatever, have had bumps in the road. They've had failures. Many times, if you subscribe to Success Magazine, as I do, and you listen to that free CD that comes on, you tend to you realize that the people who succeeded the most also had a number of failures. And you are on Live with Larry.
Hello, Larry.
Hello, White Rapper.
Yo, yo, what's going on, everybody out there in Radio Land? You're live with Larry, with special guest host D. White Rapper, probably
D. White Rapper.
Sam Litman as well.
Yes, he should be coming on very soon, too.
All right. How are we looking
all
today?
All right.
Got a couple nice guests lined up. Some pretty cool stuff to tell you guys.
Yeah. I mean, especially this treat that we have with the Rugged Man, R.A. the Rugged Man.
Tonight we're going to have R.A. the Rugged Man on the show. Really, really big show.
Now we're starting to sound like Ed Sullivan, may he rest in peace. But
hey.
I'll tell you. It's...
And, you know, R.A. the Rugged Man has a pretty incredible story of a guy who was, you know, 11, 12, 13, decided he wanted to become a hip-hop artist. Back then, we used to call it rap music, and actually made a living out of being an independent label within himself, pretty much. He's been on major labels, but basically he's kind of represented himself throughout it all. He's had some highs, some lows, but... he's able to provide for his family. Just had a beautiful baby daughter, Ella Marie, who I got to actually play with earlier. She's adorable.
Wow, that's great.
He's actually pretty much on a new level these days as far as being a new father and, you know, seeing life a little differently, I'm sure. We'll hear from him more in a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
you know, having a child changes you.
Oh, absolutely. Whenever you start a new chapter in life, things do have a way of changing. And change isn't always a bad thing. Most people are so afraid of change that they they say that men are commitment phobic.
Right.
We live in a society, unfortunately, that where everybody's commitment phobic regardless of gender. I mean, with all the divorces and the and people and the society where we're literally throwing things away, you know, where everything is disposable.
It's amazing how one day when he was younger, he actually seen his future. He's seen this all happening, and being a hip hop icon, a staple in the game of hip hop.
Yeah, I mean, this past month has been a lot. You know, hip hop. The guys from hip hop have been coming on and showing us that nothing's impossible.
Well, I mean, Larry, these are my friends, and they have a story to tell. So let them tell their story.
And let's tell the story. And let's tell the story because there are so many of us are out there. And they're telling us, and they say, "Oh, I can't do this. I can't do that."
I'm sorry. Me and Afro are watching Hardcore Henry. I'm sorry about that, Larry.
That's okay. That's okay. I'm glad to hear Afro's in the background somewhere.
Yeah, he's in from New York. He's actually doing a show tonight. If anybody would like to come down to the Webster Hall. He's going to be at a tribute show, memorial show for Sean Price, who passed away last year in his sleep, who's a great rapper, and he belonged to an excellent rap group called Helter Skelter with Rock This Monster, who's another phenomenal MC who we got to hang out with last night for a little while. And he's also got a great story to tell. I'd love to get him on the show, too, in the future.
I would love to have him on. I'd love to have him on. I mean, it's amazing. People think, oh, there's no opportunities left anymore. That's not true.
It's funny you say it like that, because Ari is definitely the epitome of a person who probably felt like that at one time. I can't speak for him, but I'm going to guess that he probably felt like that at one time, and he decided, well, screw everybody. I'm going to make my own destiny. And that's what he did. He created his own destiny.
And that's all any of us can do. Many of us, unfortunately, are so busy blaming the world, blaming the economy, blaming the job market, blaming the political scene, and the truth is, we are responsible for our own destiny. It's us that we have to take ownership. We need to realize that we are responsible for our own destiny, and not some random circumstance that's just there. It's not, because we're not all, as Curly from the Three Stooges says, victims of circumstance.
Sure. Hey, Mo, who got the cheese?
Exactly. Exactly. We got to realize that it's our own actions and that create or destroy our potential and our dreams. Every one of us is capable of achieving so much, of amazing things, and yet we don't. Yet when something goes wrong, it's somebody else's fault. It's the president. It's the guy in the White House. In this case, Obama. It's the It's the politicians. It's the boss. It's the customers. If you're in business, yeah, you got market conditions and whatnot, and if the idea is good, and if it sells, obviously the market and buying patterns have something to do with it, but it also has to do with promotion. I mean, back in the 70s, a guy paints a little stone, puts it in a box, calls it a pet rock, and makes millions of dollars on something that doesn't do anything. Are you there, White Rapper?
I'm here. I'm just letting you talk for now. As far as the pet rock goes, I actually own the pet rock, so I know.
Yeah, I mean, I was back in school. There was a girl that was very much into her pet rock, called him Ozzy, and she even sent me and my birthday's in October, and she sent me a birthday card and signed it Sherry and Ozzy.
Wow!
I didn't think I would get a birthday card from an inanimate object before.
Sometimes people find solace in the most inanimate things.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Some people like to go sit under a tree to think. They have a special tree they go to. Some people go to a park. Some people go to a beach. I like to sit in the bathroom. I like to relax in a nice warm bath. I'm actually in the bath
right now.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. I'm actually in the bath right now talking to you.
Oh, you're...
How's that?
Cool. Hey, nothing wrong with that. Yeah, I tell you, being in a bath, whether it's a jacuzzi with the bubbles or just even the still water, it's very relaxing.
Yeah, these are... I'm actually in a bubble bath, but it's man-made bubbles. I had Mexican earlier.
Okay, there's a heaping helping of TMI. But yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. Whatever floats your boat, as my brother used to say.
In my case, whatever floats my rubber ducky.
Okay, rubber ducky.
I don't have a boat. I just have a rubber ducky. Whose name is funny enough, Ziggy?
Ziggy. Ziggy,
yes,
the rubber
ducky. Yes, obviously Ziggy.
Ah.
Yes.
Nothing. Why not, right? Why
yes.
not? But that's just it. I mean, we have so much going on, and sometimes we get so wrapped up in our own little world and in our own little whatever that we just don't seem to realize, that the potential we have. We get stuck in our own mindset. We have these limiting beliefs saying, that's impossible. This will work for somebody else with all the skills and the intelligence and the background. It won't work for me. And yet, time and again, people with seemingly less advantages,
right? I knew you were gonna say that.
Are like killing it in life. And here we have someone in the 908 area code. I'm hoping
that sounds like Mr. Green.
Let's hope so.
Calling on behalf of the New Jersey State Fraternal Order of Police. Good afternoon.
Hello. You're live with Larry.
Yes, Larry and the White Rapper. All right, so what's going on there?
Nothing, just in sunny California, soaking in some rays. Christy, guys, it's been a long week, real long week. We had a great episode last week, and
oh yeah,
I believe our buddy Steve from the Vermin Supreme documentary is going to jump back in around 8:30, 8:45, talk to us a little bit more about his documentary and Vermin Supreme. So that should be
fun. I'm really anxious to hear about Vermin Supreme. We also have another guy coming on, the RA.
The Rugged Man.
The Rugged Man, yes. I thought it was Rocket Man for some reason, because I'm thinking of that old song, Rocket Man. But yeah, RA the Rugged Man.
That should be your rap name, Larry. Larry, you should start rapping, and your rap name should be. Well, I guess, yeah, Larry the Rocket Man would be pretty cool, actually. That's, you know?
Larry the Rocket Man? What kind of rap name is that? It's Larry Love.
Larry Love?
Well, I used to be a DJ years ago, and where I was Dr. Laz. But,
Dr. Laz.
That's amazing.
Yes, that was like back in college days, and then a little bit later on, I did a little interning with a defunct group called The Pros.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Did they go professional?
It was a professional DJ organization that was hired for weddings, proms, various other types of parties, graduations. I did a couple of weddings, a prom, an anniversary, a graduation. Did a couple of things.
What was that experience like for you, Larry? Summarize the experience for us, or did you learn any?
Well, I learned.
Did you start? Yeah. What did you learn from it?
A DJ gets a lot of poontang.
And well, yeah, sometimes that does help a little, especially when you have a graduation, and of course back then I was still in my 20s and attracting some of the older women. I kind of been pursued by a couple of cougars, let's put it that way. Now that I'm a little older than some of the cougars were at that time, you gotta reverse things a little bit. But you gotta keep a young mind. You need to keep a young mind, because otherwise, if you keep being settled and sedentary, and you wind up thinking like an old person. It's one thing to become older. I mean, we all get older, but the thing is, you don't want to become an old man or woman, in the sense that you're thinking too old.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
100%.
I always said age is just a number.
It is. It absolutely is. Let me just do one thing. Yeah, you think what there, Sam?
Yeah,
Sam?
I mean, I think I've always I've always thought that that age is really just a number. I mean, I think that society kind of tries to like push people into boxes. You know, I remember when I was 18 and all my friends were going off to college, and I went off to I did community college when I was 18, and but it was because of society's pressure. So it's like 18, you have to go to college. 30, you have to maybe start having some kids, you know, 40, you have to be boring. Like, I don't know. I feel like there are like these society pressure, or society tries to almost push people into boxes. Maybe it comes from the media, but they're really false boxes, because people can't be pushed into boxes. My dad's 68 and he's super cool. And he's, you know, it really is just, if you don't, you just can't let yourself, you just have to be yourself, man. That's the important thing. I mean, and not try to put yourself into a role that maybe you see on TV of what a 50-year-old should be, or a 30-year-old should be, or a 20-year-old should be. You know what I mean? Because human beings don't fit into these boxes that society kind of sets up or maybe puts. Maybe I think it comes from the media, actually. The media makes these kind of stereotypes and these boxes that we think we kind of need to fit into. You know, guys are supposed to be this way. Women are supposed to be this way. You know, age, you're supposed to be this at a certain age. So
I mean,
that's just my two cents.
It's funny you say that, Sam. I just watched an old movie from, like, the 30s or 40s or something. It was about a couple. Actually, Sidney Poitier was the actor, and he falls in love with a white woman. And Sidney Poitier's family is totally against it, and the white girl's family is totally against it. And by the end of the movie, it was just how, you know, why conform to what everybody wants to believe is the society's approval instead of following your heart and being happy, you know?
Yeah.
You're talking about Guess Who's Coming to Dinner.
Ah, you know the movie.
Yes, yeah, so you mentioned Sidney Poitier and the racial divide. Sure. Let's Guess Who's Coming to Dinner.
Yeah, Audrey Hepburn was in it.
Mm-hmm. Fine actress in her own right.
Yes. Excellent in Mommy Dearest.
Oh,
I haven't
yes.
seen that. I'd like to check it out.
Oh, Mommy Dearest? Oh, yes. I don't like wire hangers.
No more wire hangers!
Oh, boy. In fact, I'm remembering when we worked at that place with Big Ed. He was the assistant call center manager, and I would take it's the only job where you could actually take a rolled up, where you could actually be if you're a top producer, or you could get away with taking a rolled up newspaper and hitting your manager over the head with it.
Shout out to Big Ed.
What'd you say there, White Rapper?
I said, shout out to Big Head Fred.
Big Head,
yes.
Give a call in tonight.
Oh, yes. That's right, Big Ed. And shout out to Big Ed. I also want to take a shout out to my brother who works in an Acura dealership. And I'll be pulling out his card later and just giving another shout out, but stay powerful and stay productive.
And I'd like to give a quick shout out to my brother who's traveling to Europe tomorrow to go to the World Rainbow Gathering. Do you guys know about rainbow gatherings at all?
World Rainbow Gathering.
You meet at the end of the rainbow?
You do. Rainbow gatherings are these huge festivals that happen all across America. They're these giant hippie festivals. They're totally free. They happen in national parks across the country and across the world. And
really?
There's no money involved. It's all trade and barter. So you can go there with I don't know, a bunch of like rocks and crystals and trade them for something else. All the food is free. They pretty much make this whole city. They take over a piece of land and make a city, and they have the regional gatherings in states across the country and the nationals, and then they also have the world gatherings, which my brother's going to the world gathering in Europe. He's leaving,
wow.
I think, tomorrow. But I recommend it to you guys. If you guys want to ever check out a rainbow gathering, maybe we could do a little road trip to the one of the coolest hippie, real legit hippie festivals that are totally free and all trade and barter.
Tell him to
bring
a shovel. Tell your brother to bring a shovel.
You should bring a shovel. That's
yeah.
true. And
yeah.
some pot probably if you want
to,
you know,
dig
trade
for the pot of gold. Dig for the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow.
Yeah, exactly. You need the pot of gold. So
naturally.
Naturally.
Like that. That's cool. That's cool. We all need something.
What do you guys think about, like, speaking of hippie stuff, what do you guys think about, like, communes? Like, have you ever been to a hippie commune? Or do you think that Have you heard about those things?
I've heard about them. I don't know much about them. I mean, I keep hearing all kinds of different things about them, but not enough to be able to speak intelligently about it.
Yeah, they're interesting. My cousin used to live on a commune in Missouri.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was called Eastwind Commune.
Eastwind's Commune.
And pretty much they would make pink organic nut butters and Jesus sandals. And there's about 100 people living in the Ozark Mountains. And you work 40 hours a week on the land, and that pays for your stay there. So you can do, and you can make your own schedule. So you can work making like organic nut butters, or cleaning up, or taking care of the kids. It's pretty interesting stuff. Nat Geo did an article of them, actually.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, one of the things I like about it, based on what you're telling me, is that everybody chips in and does whatever kind of work is needed, and it's almost like a family environment. I mean, it's not just about putting in money and paying rent and whatever, but it's about literally pulling your weight and doing stuff and making it happen.
It's about contributing what you can personally contribute. So if you're, for example, Larry, you could just coach for 40 hours a week if you wanted to. Or for me, I could do video production, and everybody puts in what they can. I think one of the interesting things about society or America is that, or just I guess living in 2016, is that, we're not that far removed from living in tribes with family members. Even all of our parents are immigrants, I believe, right? Like, maybe we're third, fourth generation. I mean, even our parents, our grandparents that came over, our great grandparents from like on Ellis Island, they lived in communities with their aunt, where they all lived on a block, aunts, uncles. Now we're all far apart from each other, and that's not supernatural, I don't think. But the commune thing is kind of maybe more of the tribal, what we're used to from evolution as people,
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, we seem to have come away from that and saying, okay, the family unit gets separated all the time because it's not, because you should, because you should. After a certain period of time, you leave the house and you go off and you do whatever on your own, and that's fine. But at the same time, you don't want to take away from your roots and your heritage. I mean, like it's
well,
just
you,
sometimes we tend to forget where we came from.
100%. I mean, do you ever feel like we're not living the way we're supposed to be in society? You know what I mean? Like we're almost living. There's some things that we take for granted that don't seem to be right in the way we live.
Yeah.
I like to
see that.
I like to consider myself an abolitionist, which is one who believes in his heritage, his culture, his religion, and not to be disparaging of other people's colors, religion, cultures, so on. The thing that I've learned is other people's cultures and other people's religions, and I've just been so blessed to be able to have friends in every race and color and religion in life. And I've learned so much about other cultures that I believe that's why I'm pretty much able to go anywhere and be friends with anyone, because I know a little bit about each culture, So to be cultured and, not so much in the arts, I don't go to the Met, and, I don't go to the opera, But as far as culture, I feel I'm pretty cultured here in Brooklyn. I feel great about a melting pot.
That's exactly right. I mean, we're looking here at everybody is saying it's being very disparaging. You got all these hate groups. You got the craziness with the elections, and we keep forgetting that we're all just one, like you said, one big melting pot. Or as my Western Civ professor said, we're not a melting pot, we're a stew. Because there's so many different cultures, so many from different countries, different religions, different points of view. And the problem, I believe that, I admire people that are strong in their religion and strong in their cultural beliefs and their backgrounds. The problem that I find is that if you look throughout history, there has been a lot of judgmentalism and there's been a lot of bloodshed saying, well, you don't believe the way we do, so we're going to kill you or we're going to excommunicate you. I mean, look at the Crusades, look at the Inquisition, look at the Salem witch trials back in the 17th century. Look at slavery in this country with the African Americans. I mean, there's so many different things, and we fear those that are different from us because it is different, and we don't understand it. And if we don't understand it, we tend to fear it, and then since we're ignorant of it, we become afraid of it, and then we wind up hating it. And there's really nothing there to hate. It's just a different color of skin or a different point of view, different way of worshiping our creator, if you believe that we have a creator.
Right. I mean, yeah, 100%. I mean, I think that I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, I think that I don't have a problem with religion. I have my own views on God, and I've always been kind of agnostic, where I feel like I'm never going to know, and I don't know. So that's just my thing. I'm like, I don't know. But that being said, I feel like anyone should be able to practice whatever they want to practice. If you want to be, go to church every single day, if you want to be any, whatever you want to do, as long as you don't hurt other people, and don't hurt the environment, you're okay with me. Just do whatever you want. Just don't hurt other people and don't hurt the environment. That's, you know what I mean? Do anything. I don't care. You can, I just don't care. And I don't think anyone else really should care what you're doing, as long as you're not hurting other people. So,
unfortunately, not everybody shares that kind of a view. It's the best thing in the world, is being tolerant, and so forth. I mean, that is the philosophy that seems to be missing, seems to be lacking. Whereas people are so, more blood has been shed in the name of whatever deity you want to believe in than for any other reason.
But everything kind of comes down to lack of education, I feel like. And I'm honestly, like, when I talk about really anything, my philosophy really is I don't know anything, and I can always learn more. My opinion, just from just looking, glancing over the subject and not knowing that much about it, is that all the religion, if you really look at the religions and analyze them and get educated on religion, they all freaking have similar characters in them. Like, that's crazy. So, it comes, So Judaism came first, and then Christianity, you know, they share similar things, and so does Islam. They all have similar. They all come from what, Abraham? Is that right? They're the
Abraham right.
Yeah. So pretty much it comes like. You guys ever see Gulliver's Travels?
Yes.
Do you remember the little? I forgot what they were called. The little people. They were
Lilliputians.
They were divided. The Lilliputians were divided, and they were fighting each other because of how they thought that you should eat the egg. Which side of the egg you should open first? Should it be And that was. And it's the same thing with the, religious wars.
It's a silly thing to fight over. Exactly.
It's ridiculous, especially if we're sharing. Major parts of it's like we're it's not even like the religions aren't even that different. It's not like, you know, maybe like some of the Indian religions where they pray to like a, you know, five armed I don't even know how many arms, but elephant god. Like these are, we're talking about like these three religions, the main religions are pretty much the same, like with the same characters. So it's pretty ridiculous to. But, you know, it comes down to, like, people wanting to feel better than other people, maybe. Like, oh, well, you know, we're all guilty of it. You know,
We all are.
I'm special, you know. Yeah, I mean, maybe that's part of human nature or something, you know, wanting to feel, well, I guess maybe it comes down to, like, low self-esteem, wanting to feel better than other. My group is better. I mean, you can see many different, in Judaism, look at all the different, you know, sex in every religion, in Christianity, there's so many, all with slightly different stories that make theirs right and the other ones wrong. It's pretty ridiculous, I think. But again,
it is. It is.
That's
I mean, that's
just my opinion. Not hating on anyone.
I love that. I love the analogy with Gulliver's Travels and the Lilliputians, and where people are so addicted to being right that they just forget to be. And
yeah,
and most of, and whether it's Gulliver's Travels or the old Star Trek series with Kirk, Spock, and all that, you tend to see that all of the issues people are fighting over is kind of silly when you look at it. Do you remember the Star Trek episode where he had these two guys, one is black on one side, white on the other, except that each one was black on one, but it's like depending on which is your black side, which is your white side, depends on what class you're in. Do you remember that?
I don't remember that, but I'm gonna check that out. I mean, that's interesting.
The Sharons, and what happened was in that particular episode, one was chasing the other, and it dealt with racism and bigotry, and then when they finally got back to their home planet, all life on that planet was destroyed, and the only thing they had was their hatred of one another. The
Ooh,
civilization
man. That's a,
was gone.
Wow.
Nobody else on the planet, but just them beaming down just to kill each other.
That's pretty. I mean, it's really that's it, and then I you know, even Dr. Seuss had the star-bellied Sneetches. Remember that story?
I remember the Sneetches. Yes, star-bellied,
similar
plain belly.
Yeah.
And the smartest person there was the traveling salesman that put stars on the belly. Take stars off the bellies, and he wound up making a bloody fortune, and and everybody else was so busy trying to outdo the other side that nobody knew who was originally what, and they finally realized that what difference does it make, and they finally got along after everybody, after basically they got conned out of all their money.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's pretty obvious, you know, that we still have those problems, you know, today, where, you know, whether it's being maybe judged or, you know, having, you know, privileges based on colors of skin, or money is a big thing these days, wealth, you know, things that don't actually matter. Like, nothing, wealth doesn't matter. Even beauty, I feel like, is, and I don't want to sound like too preachy, but I feel like, you know, a lot of it comes down to the media, which I work in. I do work in the media world, but just the idea of beauty being something that's like really permanent, when really it is really what's inside that does count. Because, I mean, if you meet a woman, right, guys, you know, and
right.
You might think she's physically attractive, but when you start talking to her, she could become way hotter or way uglier based on the contents of the conversation. If she's smart and interesting or whatever you personally find attractive, you will find her more attractive. The beauty, it really is just skin deep, you know, and that's not something that American pop culture really just like focuses on just beauty being just skin deep, and that's why we have like, you know, like 50-year-old women getting all this plastic surgery and like butchering their faces, and people feeling self-conscious about themselves. I don't remember where I was going with this, but it's interesting.
We do everything we can where even if we risk our health and sometimes even our very lives just so that we could look nice.
Yeah, and dude, I'm guilty of it too. I mean, I'm sure we all are. I mean, but I think, well, really, a lot of it comes down to what we're exposed to from, you know, childhood and what we absorb around us. And maybe there's some evolutionary stuff there too. Like, I don't really know, you know, like alpha males and all that type of alpha. I don't know. It's interesting. But we are, you know what, in 2016, this is the revenge of the nerds right now. So I've always been a little bit of a nerd and an outcast. And right now is the time of the nerds. We are rising up because they, with the internet and technology, you know, it's not about those are the kings, the people that can do well the thinkers, you know, the nerds. So,
oh yeah.
I don't know if you've ever seen Revenge of the Nerds. That's a pretty good movie.
And I can definitely verify that. I can definitely verify that. Sam is a nerd.
I'm a total nerd. Sean knows. I try to get him to the opera all the time, and he never wants to come with me.
The next time we go, we're going to go to, I think it's Thursday night. Oh, you're in California. You can't go. Okay.
I'll come back. If you want to see the opera, because I've been trying to get you to go for such a long time, if you want to go to the opera, I will come back. I will find a way to get back, and we will go see the opera together. That would be amazing.
And the opera?
Me, you, and Larry.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind going to the opera.
I'm actually – been to the opera.
Yes. Live with Larry. What happened to Rocket? What happened to Rugged Man?
I am in the process of getting him on the line right now. Give me a couple seconds.
Yeah, and
so
I see somebody.
On the line with Larry Show, special guest host Sean the White Rapper, and Sam Wilson. The phone number is.
And the phone number is 347-637-1843, and you're on live with Larry in the 651 area code.
Oh, I'm online. All right, yeah, it's Steve Ondrick. I called in last week about my documentary about Vermin Supreme. But we can talk about what you guys are talking about.
Well, yes, Vermin Supreme. That's right. I remember
you. Oh, hey, what's up, Steve?
Hey, Sam. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good.
Oh,
good
wow.
to be talking to you guys again. So, yeah.
Yeah, great to hear your voice, too. Hopefully we have a little more time. Well, yeah, we certainly have a little more time than we did last time. So,
yeah.
Tell me a little bit more about Vermin Supreme.
So, as we went over a little bit last time, Vermin Supreme is a comedian and presidential candidate, and he has a few interesting platforms, such as he would like to pass mandatory toothbrushing laws. He'd like to give a free pony to every American. However, it is a federal ID pony that you have to have with you at all times. He wants to research time travel research. He wants to do time travel research and prepare for the zombie apocalypse. So he's most well known for back in early 2012, he appeared in a viral video where he was wearing a 3-foot-tall boot on his head in the context of a lesser-known candidate's presidential debate in New Hampshire. And he dropped glitter on anti-gay candidate Randall Terry's head and declared to the world that he was turning Randall Terry gay because Jesus told him to do that.
Uh-huh.
And this is a video that all of you guys should watch immediately. If you haven't seen it, it's probably one of the greatest videos on the internet.
It's up there, I think. Yeah. I mean, you know, there's of course, subjective taste in what the greatest video on the internet is, but definitely most people who see it, they get some kind of enjoyment out of it anyway.
Well, second to the Numa Numa guy, but...
Right, yeah, he might, or maybe Chocolate Rain. I don't know if you can dethrone that guy. He's from a long
Chocolate
time ago.
Chocolate Rain.
Yeah.
Chocolate Rain. Oh,
yeah.
Boy. I really
yeah,
want to get out.
Well, you're not
yeah.
missing much, Larry. Just a lot of cats.
A lot of cats.
Yeah.
So what was the documentary process like, and where are you at with it right now? And also, just once again, like where can people see it?
Well, if people want to see it, they can go to whoisverminsupreme.com, and there's a video embedded on the front page. And through that video, you can rent it for $5 on Vimeo On Demand or buy it for $10. But it was mostly shot throughout the 2012 election season. So this was when Vermin was challenging Barack Obama and Mitt Romney to try to become the president. And it basically all got started when I happened to run into Vermin at a protest of the NATO summit meeting that happened in Chicago in May of 2012. And it was a pretty huge protest thing that was going on. There were tens of thousands of people, and at one point things got tense because the big protest was supposed to leave because the permit was up, but there were just tons and tons of people in this intersection, and I don't think everybody really knew they had to leave. Anyway, it ended up becoming like a police versus protesters sort of confrontation. They were actually, the cops pulled out billy clubs and actually hit some people and stuff. It was pretty bad, actually.
Oh.
But I happened to run into Vermin in that context, remaining remarkably calm and actually doing comedy in this situation to try to snap people into a more aware sort of state of mind, which I thought was really interesting. And that's kind of how it began. And then from there, we discussed the possibility of a documentary and ended up shooting it on and off for about a year and a half.
Wow.
Wow,
that's
awesome. Is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really cool. And
yeah.
How do we get Vermin Supreme to get on Live with Larry? Is that possible
at
some point?
That's a good question. You know, I asked him about that, but I think he probably forgot. I think he might be visiting some family at the moment, but I assume he'd probably be willing to do it sometime.
Yeah,
I would love for him to come on. I mean,
yeah.
Learn about, with Vermin Supreme and who knows? Maybe with the candidates that we have running now, he might just win this time.
Yeah, you never know. Yeah, it's strange that the political scene has sort of gotten even weirder since then. I mean, I don't know. It's like the whole thing is it's hard. It must be hard for Vermin to even do a parody of it anymore, given that we now have Donald Trump in the race and all this absurd stuff going on.
Yeah, totally. So, what are your thoughts on the political climate or politics these days, in 2016 and in general?
Well, I suppose my thoughts on it are kind of complicated. Looking at the presidential election right now, I mean, I do kind of feel like the whole thing is sort of a joke, and that it has been for quite a while. You know, I don't like Trump very much. It seems like he's fear-mongering a lot. But by the same token, it seems like Clinton is sort of more of the same. And then there was even something, there's a nonpartisan group called Election Justice USA, and I haven't been able to look into the details on this yet, but apparently they've done a study on the election, the 2016, you know, primaries. And apparently what they found was that there was a great deal of election fraud, and that had that not been the case, it would have been possible that Bernie would have been actually the nominee. So I don't know. It all seems very suspect. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think maybe local politics are going to have more of an effect at this moment. I'm not sure.
I agree. Yeah, it seems like things change. Well, I don't know that much about politics, but it was frustrating. I did pay attention because I did like Bernie Sanders. And
yeah.
It was frustrating to see, you know, to see some voter suppression in Brooklyn where I was living at the time. I don't know if it was direct. I can't say it was directed toward, you know, Bernie Sanders particularly, but just seeing the chaos of the primaries and caucuses was just kind of like a big major turnoff. And we were talking about this last week, but I mean, why not just make it a national holiday? It's a holiday, right? You make all the primaries and caucuses one day, make it a holiday. Everybody's off one fucking day. Pardon my language.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean,
one day.
That would
make
great sense.
It simple, man. Why does it have to be this, like, insane drawn-out process? It doesn't make any sense.
I mean, yeah, the other thing to be aware of is participation in the primaries is actually quite low. I mean, I think, if I'm not mistaken, it was, like, only 9 million people who actually voted in a Republican or a Democratic primary or caucus, something like that, which is, and it's, like, 14% of the voting population. And, you know, it's even lower if you consider, you know, kids who can't vote and felons and stuff like that. So, it's a weird situation where we have a choice between two people that's set up more or less by a very small amount of actual voters. And then it's all, of course, you know, funneled through the whole process of these, you know, parties, which are essentially private organizations. So, I don't know. It just seems like there are many things limiting democracy on the national scene anyway.
Yeah, I agree. What do you think, Larry? As someone who's been alive in prison, what are your thoughts on? Because you've seen more elections than both of us, you know.
Well, yeah, I'm one of the few people that can answer this question that I used to ask my driving school students when I taught driver's ed. As we were on our way to get their permits, I would ask the question, who was the one U.S. president that served both as vice president and president, yet was never elected to either office? And it's amazing how not a lot of people can answer that question correctly. Just
I don't
fun.
Think I have an answer. Yeah.
You don't have
any. He
was never elected to either office, yet he served as vice president and as president. The only U.S. president.
This was, what's his name? The guy who took over when FDR died, right?
No. Fast forward to the 70s.
But yeah, that was Truman, but apparently, according to Oliver Stone's documentary about the his history of the United States, there was some uncertainty. Apparently, the Democratic Party moved in and sort of removed this other guy, Henry Wallace, who was probably supposed to be FDR's vice president. But anyway, it's neither here nor there.
No, you're a little too far back.
Sure.
Too far back.
Gerald Ford was elected vice president, right?
Excuse me?
Was it Gerald Ford was elected vice president, was he?
He was not elected vice president. No. Gerald Ford is the correct answer. What happened was Nixon's running mate was not Ford. Mm-hmm. Nixon's running mate was Spiro Agnew.
Uh-huh.
Agnew got into some dirty dealings, shall we say, and was pretty much he was forced to resign the vice presidency. And what happened was there was this obscure congressman. I'm not sure if it was Michigan, Minnesota, or I know it was an M state or Missouri. I'm not sure which of those M states it was. But Gerald Ford was appointed by Congress. He was a congressman himself. He actually wanted to become Speaker of the House. He never intended to become President of the United States, but he was appointed Vice President to replace Agnew. And then when Nixon got into his Watergate scandals, he got up and became President of the United States. He was never elected to either office because Agnew was the original running mate for the vice presidency, and then later on, Ford and I don't think Ford even wanted the job because the first thing he did, which got a lot of people angry, was he pardoned Nixon.
Mm-hmm.
Remember?
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, I wasn't alive, but I do remember from history class, I guess. Yeah. But even the Watergate scandal seems sort of antiquated now, given the massive NSA spying program that exists. And, you know, I suppose they say they're only using it to, look into suspected terrorists or whatever, but all the indications from the Snowden stuff that came out a few years ago is that, essentially it's this massive system that is picking up all sorts of information about who everybody's calling and, who they're sending emails to.
Exactly.
Yeah,
it's
Sean,
crazy.
You still there?
Why, Rafa?
Calling Sean. So let's get a little conspiracy here. So, all right. So,
sure.
All right. So if you've been in the conspiracy circles, which, it's fun to, I mean, everything's, I guess, there are a lot of crazy things that have been, that have actually been proven not to be conspiracies that people thought were conspiracies, at one point. Like,
sure.
people thought the world was flat, and then it turned out the world was not flat, it was round. And there's still a conspiracy that the flat earthers, you ever heard of those people?
Yeah, I suppose
people
there's
that
still
believe,
are a few people who, they think it's flat.
Now, hey, I don't know. I've never been up in space, but I don't think it's flat. But what I was going to say is it's kind of interesting because, years ago I would hear about the microchipping conspiracy, or the RFIDs. Have you guys heard about those?
Tell me about that.
Well, pretty much it was I'm 29, so when I was 14, 15, I started hearing my first little conspiracy thoughts about RFID chips. So the idea was that Hello?
Yeah, everybody there.
The government is trying to break us up. I'm just kidding. Just kidding, because we're getting on the conspiracy thing.
Yeah.
There's a conspiracy pretty much that in the future everyone would be microchipped to keep track of everybody, okay?
Yeah, okay.
Now I would hear, we'd hear about that maybe, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, right? Now we pretty much have cell phones. We keep track of everywhere we go, everything we do. We voluntarily hand over the information that when people, conspiracy theorists, were talking about RFID chips, people were like, no, they'll never have that. That's crazy. We care too much about our privacy. But here we have cell phones to carry around with us that are pretty much I mean, they're great. There's a lot of great things to be said about the technology, but they're also surveillance devices. I mean, they have a freaking camera built in them. Now, it would,
right.
If you, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I was hearing about RFID chips like a long time ago, and the cell phones seem like the perfect transition to eventually microchipping everybody.
Right.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that all new passports actually do have an RFID chip in them, if I'm not mistaken. You should look that up and double-check it, but I remember reading that about that a few years ago. But, yeah,
it really has been
a dramatic change in the way that we think about privacy, I guess. Like, I saw an old BBC video, maybe from the late 70s or early 80s, and they were showing these, you know, English people, this computer that had, you know, some marketing information about them. And it was very, very basic information. It was like, you know, they would show people the computer and they'd say, let's see what the computer knows about you. And it was just like, you know, it knows that you live in this town or that you're married to this person. And then you see the reactions of the people and they're like, I don't know. I'm not comfortable with that. I don't know how I feel about that. But, you know,
yeah,
you
wow.
Now, and it's,
yeah.
You know, if they saw the world we're living in, they would be utterly baffled, I think.
We don't, you never know what to think.
I mean, it's tough to think about and analyze, and it's important that we're to have the discussions and figure it all out. I mean, you know, I mean, there's some great things about the technology, like we're all on a podcast right now on our cell phones. I mean, that's pretty cool.
I can
FaceTime my dad across the country. Like, there's some great things. And at the same time, you know, it could be used, you know, it could be used against us, you know, or maybe we shouldn't be comfortable with the amount of privacy we're giving up. I don't know. I mean, definitely stuff to think about for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. I mean, it has improved people's lives in a lot of ways. But also, you know, just, you know, sort of what the system is capable if it's in the wrong hands. You know, if the wrong people have control over this information, well, you know, bad things can happen, I guess. And,
Things happen no matter what you do. You gotta really be careful who you trust with private information.
Yeah.
I mean,
Yeah, and I guess one thing to be hopeful about is that, you know, despite the fact that, you know, various government agencies and things have so much access to all this information, nothing truly dystopian or too terrible seems to be taking place, you know, at least in the U.S. yet. It's just that potential, you know, is sort of made possible through some of these technologies, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Edward Snowden did... You know, he felt like he needed to come forward and tell the world about what was going on. And I guess they were collecting phone records, but they weren't actually, I don't think, reading the contents of the email, I guess, unless they got an approval from the FISA court or something like that. But then the court would approve everybody, I guess, like, would approve, like, every request. I don't think they ever turned down requests. I don't know. Have you guys seen, what was it? Is Citizen 4, the Laura Poitras documentary?
Yeah, that's really interesting.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, it's like pretty much she follows Edward Snowden around or stays with him right before he's even revealed himself as the leaker of the information. He contacted Glenn Greenwald and Laura Poitras when he was in Russia. No, when he was in China. And they helped him get to Russia. And then the state filmed with him in the days leading up to him releasing, you know, exposing himself as the leaker of the data. And it's a really fascinating documentary. It's a must-see.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. It sounds good.
Yeah.
Shoot me a link to that. Yeah, I'll tell
that
you.
That whole situation. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say that... I mean, all this stuff that's happening is amazing. I mean, the idea here is that that so many amazing things are going on, and we like, you're right, we take it for granted. And sometimes you want to, but you also want to see, like, how did what does that do for us? I mean, we keep blaming others for the bad stuff, and yet we get there's a lot of good stuff that's going on, and we got to, and what's really cool is that we all have the ability to do the things that we keep watching in other people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure. You're right. It's easy to kind of look at the negative and not. And you have to look at all sides. I mean, and we are really. There's some really incredible things about technology.
Technology.
I think maybe the key thing, you know, for people in the future is to sort of fight in favor of some sort of democratic control over these network technologies. Like, I was even I watched a documentary recently about Aaron Swartz, he was like a tech genius, and he was more or less talking about how, like, with the internet, anybody can publish anything. But a big question is, like, who's going to see what will actually get out there? And that is sort of dependent on, you know, various systems, like what ends up in Google search results, what comes to the top of your feed in Facebook, all of these algorithms and things like that. So it's sort of up to us in the future to determine, what should people see, you know, what should be prioritized, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
That is sort of controlled by these companies that control Facebook or whatever else. I just thought that was a good way to think about it.
Oh, absolutely.
The funny part is, in the end, in the very, very end, we'll all really know what everybody was up to. And as we're seeing through WikiLeaks and all these different websites that are posting pretty much on-point accurate information, you'll be able to make a better decision who you really think should be running this country.
Yeah.
You know what, guys?
Go ahead.
The question is sex robot. That's the question.
Sex robot.
I'm sure they're on their way.
Will we all be having sex with our ideal sexual partner, and which is a robot, in the future? And no longer having sex with human beings, because if you can make your ultimate sexual partner, I just feel like people will be married, but they'll keep their sex robot in, like, the closet. Like, you know, you love your wife and everything, but then, you know, when it's time to, time for naughty time, you take out your sex robot and go in the other room, and your wife does the same thing, and he's got a six-pack, or, you know, her sex robot, and whatever, you know, a 10-inch schlong or whatever, and he listens. I'm just kidding. I'm just joking around. But I do think that I feel like sex robots are inevitable. It's like a human being. Like, I mean, right now, I do video production and I pay attention to all the technologies advancing. And VR and 360 video is like the newest thing. Now, what were the first two things that you could watch in VR? Porn and a roller coaster video game. So whenever the technology advances, it's always one of the things is always going to be sex, you know, whatever the technology is.
Well, apparently that's what happened with VHS versus Betamax tapes. And I guess technically Betamax tapes are actually superior, but the story goes anyway
you guys know the reason behind Beta and VHS? It was actually a war between two companies to create that technology. And I think it was Panasonic that won the war.
And that's why Beta phased out and VHS ran for a long time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I know something. I'm not stupid. I'm not dumb.
Nothing like stumbling upon a VHS porno collection in the early 90s.
Yeah, I guess that's the way it used to be done.
That was always the best part of helping a friend move, getting that free box of porn at the end. Hey, bud, thanks for helping me. Here's some VHS tapes. And you really see what was going on in your friend's mind. Is it porn? Really? Guy's dressed as clown? Heaven sent? What the hell is this?
Yeah.
I just wonder if there was something better about the before the internet. Maybe there was something more adventurous for young people about they'd find some old suitcase of VHS tapes with porn on them or something, as compared to the new way things are, where like any kid really can just go on the internet and find
whatever he wants.
Yeah, any.
Yeah.
Crazy,
yeah.
Porn.
I mean, I'm 29, and I guess I was in the generation of, seeing my first pornos, Playboy, in the woods somewhere on the ground, you just stumble upon it, or, there was just, in the late 90s, you start catching some stuff on the internet, but, it's really interesting.
Yeah, well, I don't think that you can learn a lot from a person by their porn collection. Just like you could learn from their history when you pull it down on the computer.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
A friend of mine just recently moved, and he gave me his old box of, actually it was DVD porns. And I've never seen such an eclectic variety of midget porn and, grannies and all kinds of horse fetishes and weird stuff. Balloon popping.
Oh, that's my thing actually. Balloon popping. I totally get that one.
Yeah.
Balloon
well, I suppose pop. It's maybe one of the things
I
that
did,
the internet
I
is.
Did.
I guess maybe that's one of the things that the internet has sort of revealed as public knowledge, is that just human beings, in terms of sexual fantasies and everything, are into a very wide variety of things, and some of them, to one person, might seem very strange, and to another person, might seem totally normal.
You're listening to the Larry Live Show with special guests, the White Rapper and Sam Lippin. Please give us a call and join in the conversation. What's the phone number, Larry?
At 347-637-1843.
Hello, caller.
We got about 10 minutes left. On this show.
10 minutes. We're going to have to book R.A. for a future show. We kind of went a little over our time, I'm realizing. So we're going to book in for next Monday. Everybody tune in. Next Monday show.
R.A.
the
Rugged Man.
Live show.
R.A. the Rugged Man.
R.A. That's R.A. the Rugged Man. The legendary. Legends never die. R.A. the Rugged Man. That's awesome. I'm very excited for that.
And
yeah,
what you've learned today on the Larry
wait.
Bizarre Show is to unleash your positive, well, wait a minute.
Unleash your powerful self is what you need.
Your powerful self.
Yes, we kind of went off topic a little bit, but that's okay. I mean, just the idea that we have such interesting people coming on the show and talking about different things.
Next
There's
week
so,
we have
so
Ari the Rugged Man. We
Next
have
week
Ari
we got
the Rugged,
Ari
Man,
the Rugged Man.
And also
yeah.
I'm going to have
the Rugged
my
Man is coming
artificial
show
intelligence. I'm going to have my artificial intelligence sex girlfriend called Jackie.
Okay. All right. Jackie sounds good too.
So are you going to get Ari the Rugged Man to talk about sex robots next week?
I believe he will talk about anything under the sun.
Ah, well, that ought to be interesting.
I just didn't realize we were running a little late. We got caught up with the artificial sex women toys thing.
Yes. Yeah, we kind of got we we kind of got off track, but that's all right. The fact is, this has been an amazing show. You know, we've had some amazing shows, and I gotta give a shout out to my two top guys over there, and that of course is Sam Lippman and the White Rapper.
Yo, what up, Keith?
Yo, what up? And Steve, thanks so much for coming
thank
on.
Thank you for coming back on this week and talk. This was absolutely amazing. I even learned a few things.
And don't forget to go buy the video at Amazon.com.
Oh, it's not on Amazon.com. But go to
Don't go to Amazon.com. Go to
whoisverminsupreme.com to bring you there.
Whoisverminsupreme.com.
Whoisverminsupreme.com.
I highly recommend, if you're not familiar with Vermin Supreme, you need to watch this documentary.
This oddly relates to what we were saying earlier, but don't go to verminsupreme.com. That is Vermin's old website, which actually has been hijacked and has links to porn on it, oddly enough. So that's
interesting.
That relates in a weird sort of way.
Well, you know, I gotta chime in with this. I one time I went back to school to learn about computers, you know, just so I went to DeVry, and my first semester there, or first trimester, because they have trimesters, not actual semesters. Anyway, I learned that you have whitehouse.gov and whitehouse.com. And whitehouse.com is a porn site.
That's funny.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not that that means anything, but you got to be careful as to what you pull on the internet, unless you're into that kind of stuff.
And back at DeVry is where.
If anyone is a genius hacker, they should attempt to contact Vermin Supreme on Facebook, because his old website, the person who was running it, let the registration lapse, and it was taken over by porno bots, and now links to weird pornography.
We're not advocating any hacking.
Anybody who knows the proper legal channels for getting Vermin's site back, but those people should contact him.
Again, we're not advocating any hacking. Unless you're an artificial sex bot named Jackie, then I'd love to have it.
Yes. And
that is the future, guys. I'm telling you. Real quick. So you guys are, Larry, you're into Star Trek. So I never got how do. And this is probably another conversation, but how do they predict the old 70s Star Trek, 80s Star Trek episodes predict the technology, like the direction of technology?
Good question. Because the amazing thing with Star Trek is that everything that Gene Roddenberry predicted in all of the episodes in that series, we now have in today's world. We got McCoy sick bay, where you're scanning the body. Today we have CAT scans and MRIs. The communicators. We now have cell phones. I mean,
just like the Jetsons. The dog used to run on a treadmill.
Okay, the dog ran on a treadmill. That's true.
Yeah, that's true. That's
but
true.
I don't. But I tell you, I think that Gene Roddenberry. And his genius, he was just, I think he was just a man ahead of his time, because nobody, because how could anybody predict the kind of technology that we have today?
Mm.
And it's based on, I mean, I think the only thing that we don't have that's in the Star Trek episodes is the transporter.
Oh, yeah, the transporter.
Yeah.
Although the Philadelphia experiment almost worked.
Why did the reptilians have the transporters?
The difference could be that they were using it in...
Okay. And I'd also like to thank Uhura for helping me through many a lonely night. Thank you, Uhura.
Can we do shout-outs now? Is that, like,
Can we just shout out people?
Why not? Why not? We've got 2 minutes and 45 seconds.
Shout it out.
Yo. I want to shout out.
Yo.
Shout out.
Like to shout out my friend David Fink.
Shout out.
A joke about sex robots 10 years ago.
Jonah Lippman Stern, shouting you out. Vermin Supreme, live from the streets crew, the whole live from the streets crew.
Shout out to Mr. Green. Shout out to Afro. Shout out to Ari the Brugger Band. Shout out to Chris Conway, the master behind the mic.
Jay Ripper.
Yes.
LeVar Burton.
LeVar Burton. Oh,
John Luke
Picard. Shout out to
Luke
Curry, 90210. Shout out to Fonzie, Happy Days. What up, yo?
Yo, Patrick J. Pestis. I want to call
the Order
of Police. So me and Larry actually used to work together a little bit in a call center, and we used to raise some donations
for the FOP. Yeah.
To get that phone call.
Hi, how you doing? This is Sam Lippman from the Fraternal Order of Police. Would you like to donate today?
Hello, this is Sam Lippman Stern calling on behalf of the New Jersey State Law Enforcement Officers Association. Good afternoon.
Click. Click.
Click. Click. Yes. The reason I'm calling is I want to take money out of your pocket. That's why.
Hold on, let me give you my credit card number. 955555.
Which credit card is that, ma'am?
It's the red one with blue stripes in it.
Which one is that, ma'am? Is it an American Express? Is it a MasterCard? Is it a Visa?
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen.
Hello.
Tune
Happy
in
Mother's
next
Day.
Week. Happy Mother's Day. Tune in next week when we're going to have that special guest.
Next week.
All right. And
how many more minutes do we have? Give a shout out to Billy West, Ren and Stimpy, Howard Stern.
And of course, always remember, stay positive, stay powerful, and don't be afraid of anything.
I want to give a shout out to the submarines. I want to give a shout out to the Army, the Navy, the Marines. Peace.
Larry Live Show, starring special guest host White Rapper and Sam Lippman. Tune in next week for special guest Ari the Rugged Man.
Ari the Rugged Man for next week. And
Hamilton's turn.
Everybody, stay powerful.
Stay powerful, guys. Great talking to you. Stay powerful.
Take care.
Hey, Mo. Here. Cook up the cheese.
Howard Stern's penis.
Baba Booey, Baba Booey.